Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're so glad that you've joined us today. I do pray that these broadcasts are being a blessing to you. And if you're a brand new listener, we pray especially today that you will be blessed as we encounter the Word of God together today. I know the Holy Spirit is going to be very active as we receive God's Word into the good ground of a heart that is both hungry and obedient to Him. If you're a brand new listener, as I said, we pray you will be blessed. And if you're not a Christian today, don't turn the dial. Stay tuned. We want you to gather around God's Word with us. You have a very special invitation to listen, and I pray to learn about this God who created us and literally gave His Son to save us. A God that loved us that much is a God worth knowing about personally. Praise God, and a salvation worth receiving. So be our special guest today. If you can take a little time from the busyness of life to consider, amen, what God is teaching us through His Word, showing us through His Word, I believe it's going to bless you from the inside out and all throughout your life and throughout all eternity if you choose to receive Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. We're getting ready to go to a brand new subject this week. Just before we do, if you'd like to come to our website, I'd like to say to you that have discovered this through our website, have listened to some of these broadcasts and have left us prayer requests on our website. We've just prayed for two individuals from Nepal and already had a good report that God is hearing, answering intercessory prayer. Amen. And we declare that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as declared in Scripture, and that the God of Israel has not changed. Mankind has, the church has, many people have, but God is eternally the God that He revealed Himself to be. He is, and He always will be. That's why we can count on Him. Praise God. Amen. That's why we can call on Him today. So if you have your Bibles, and let me give you our website real quick. Just type in THCOG. That stands for The Holy Church of God. This is the abbreviated form of that. For time's sake, Google it. A good search engine will take you directly to the Holy Church of God Incorporated right here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. Many sermons, many testimonies, many tools, Bible tools to help you. Just so much to edify you and instruct you. Recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus to inspire you to believe God with us, that we will see His wonders, His miracles, His manifest presence as the gospel of Jesus is preached. And I'm not just talking about in our assembling together, but in every church where every preacher and teacher is declaring Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we just join arms and ranks today to see the gospel go forth, to see the church come alive. Hallelujah. We call that revival. And to see, amen, the world informed about this glorious gospel and this glorious God that we do serve. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, with no further ado, let's go to Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 through 12, for our foundational text for this teaching. The title is Jacob's Ladder, God's Answer for Life's Uncertainties. Listen carefully. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. I'm going to make a statement about the culture and condition of your world and mine in this very 21st century. Psychologists tell us that thousands of Americans, literally thousands, and I would go so far as to say millions, of course, all over the world, are suffering from something called anticipatory anxiety. Anticipatory anxiety. Because we live in such an uncertain world. We do not know what headline we're going to read tomorrow. We don't know if gas prices are going to suddenly shoot up to $5 or even $10. We don't know what the weather is going to hold, and we've seen that recently. We don't know what accident is going to happen and take a loved one. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, and there's a growing uneasiness and uncertainty called anticipatory anxiety. One thing we do know, that there are so many bad things happening, even to good people, in this fallen world, that man, through all the news media and the ability to know what's happening around the world now, not just in our local area or our own nation, we realize even more than any other generation, because of the media, and that life is filled with uncertainties. The scriptures teach that in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. We had a gentleman in our church that used to sing on Sunday morning service many times. He's with the Lord now, but he sung an old song that said, "Life is like a mountain railway," because it depicted all of the twists and the turns that life can take. In the particular case here of Jacob, he was facing a very uncertain future. Some of you may have lost your job. Some of you may have lost a family member to death. Some of you may have lost a spouse in a divorce. Some of you have lost custody over children that now you miss so bad. You're aching inside and you're wondering what is going to happen next. Some of you are awaiting a court date and a sentence may be levied, and you don't know how that judgment is going to fall. All of us have something to be concerned about, and the concerns are legitimate. So let's listen to someone that's just like us in this ancient time. He was far from home and could not be sure of ever coming back. He had no assurance of finding a wife, a job, or a home to stay in. He was using a stone for a pillow, which wasn't unusual in ancient times. I'm going to tell you something. Next time that you're complaining about that pillow in that motel or hotel or that bedroom, think about Jacob, who'd had no place to lay his head but to prop. I can just visualize him putting his hand under his head on a stone and using his own hand to help as it elevated his head to give him something to rest his head on. He didn't even know if his basic needs would be met. He was seemingly all alone in a hostile world with no guarantee that he would not be hunted down and killed by his brother Esau. If you read the story of Esau and Jacob, you will understand his predicament. Or that he would not be harmed by a bandit or wild animal. Jacob was living in very uncertain times and needed a word of encouragement and assurance from his God. And Jacob had acted in his life in such a way that he didn't really deserve any mercy like that or grace like that from God. But God in His grace and God in His mercy came to Jacob and showed him something he needed to see about God's watch care over us. And I believe all of us need to see what Jacob saw. Praise the Lord, because he didn't just see angels, this vision of the angels ascending and descending. He saw something about the character of God himself, the person of our Creator, who also has offered himself to be our Savior, our Keeper, our Deliverer, our Protector, our Provider, our Heavenly Father. I'm so encouraged when I read the story of Jacob's ladder, because it tells me that the God of the universe is concerned and involved in the affairs of his children upon the earth. Genesis 28, 10 through 12 tells us that Jacob had traveled about 70 miles of his 450-mile journey to Haran. He needs to rest for the evening, so he set up camp in a certain place. This place is not especially noteworthy. It does might even have a name. It is not known as a place for divine visitations, however. There's nothing particularly holy about this place. It's just a place of dirt and stones. So Jacob has no reason to expect anything unusual. But soon after he goes to sleep, with his head on a rock, which is not unusual, as I said, for people in ancient times during travels, God comes to Jacob in a dream. God has something to show him, and God shows up many times at unexpected times and unexpected places. It may be in the shower, during the drive to work, or when you're cooking dinner. The well-known worship course says, "Lord, you are more precious than silver," actually received by a lady while she was cooking French fries at McDonald's. God is not limited to showing up at so-called spiritual places, such as the church building. He's everywhere. But I'm referring to God showing up, manifesting himself to us supernaturally in some special way. In this case, God visits and encourages Jacob through a special dream. In the dream, Jacob saw a stairway going from earth to heaven, with angels going between the two realms, and the Lord at the top. Jacob would have understood the dream symbolism as the stairway being representative of a place where there was access to God and God having access to us. The main point of the dream being to affirm to Jacob that the Lord and his angels were present and active, even though he had been unaware of them. Most of us will not have a dream like Jacob did. But it's been revealed to us through the Bible and the Holy Scriptures that God is present with us and active, even when we are unaware of Him. Praise God. Someone wrote a book, Angels Unawares, about the certain times and places where angels have been manifest and people have seen and experienced angelic help and angelic deliverance. Let me bring some principles out of this that we need to remember today. When you cannot see Jesus, Jesus sees you. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. God knows where you are on your journey in life. God knows what you're experiencing. He knows what your tomorrow is. He said, "I've seen the end from the beginning." Amen. God, with this kind of not just insight, but foresight. Hallelujah. He knows what is around the next bend. He knows what is coming and when it is coming. And He knows you and He knows me. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the Bible said this great God that sees the end from the beginning, this God said unto those that would put their trust in Him and their faith in Him, "I will guide thee with mine eye." As I said again, it's not just giving us insight about our circumstance, but He has foresight. He can prepare you. He can warn you. He can guide you. He can direct you. He can take you through the trial that you are facing this very day, because God cares that much to keep His eye on you. He knows where you are in your life and on your journey. God knows what you need, and He knows how to meet that need. He knows, amen, how much grace it takes to face what you're facing, and He has grace sufficient for you and for me. It tells us that God is involved in everything that touches our life. Jesus put it this way in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. He said, not one sparrow falls without your Father. He notices, He takes it to heart, one of the least of His creation. He said, a sparrow is sold for a farthing in the marketplace. It's the least of birds that you could buy or purchase, or things that you could purchase. Its worth is almost not worth mentioning. And yet the God of the universe is touched when one sparrow falls. I want you to know He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's why we're encouraged to come and pray to Him and call upon Him. Said we don't have, in the New Testament, the Scripture declares, we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because He was in all points touched as we are. Because He took on flesh, because He experienced the heartache and the heartbreaks that can come in this fallen world. Oh, He was touched. He felt it. And when we come, He knows what we're experiencing. And He knows exactly what we need. And He knows exactly how to grant that need to us. Praise God. Hallelujah. It goes on to say, let us come boldly, therefore, before the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace and mercy to help in the time of any need. It also tells us that God comes to us in His timing if we put our trust in Him. You know, you can't stamp your foot and demand a manifestation. But sometimes when we least expect it, if we just simply keep trusting God, God is going to find a way to communicate to us His love, His grace, His mercy, His direction, His protection, His provision, His help, and His strength. God is with us today. Make no mistake about it. He's keeping the promise made through His Son, Jesus Christ. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. You know, we're all kind of like the man who said, I can face anything but the future and certain parts of the past and present. I know exactly what he's saying. None of us can face the past unless we know we are forgiven by the grace of God. None of us can face the present unless we know we're strengthened by the presence of God. And none of us can face the future unless we're certain of the love of God. In Genesis 28, 13 through 15, God speaks to Jacob. And it is from that speech that we learn four things that we need to remember in uncertain times. Let me read this from Genesis 13 through 15. Listen. And behold, God stood above this ladder, above it, and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I've done that which I've spoken to thee of. Praise God. I'll tell you, I tell people all the time when we read stuff like this, you better put on your shouting shoes because we're standing on shouting ground. Hallelujah. Amen. Look what the Lord has said to Jacob to assure him, what he's shown him in Jacob's ladder and what he said to him. And number one, in uncertain times, we need to remember God's promises. In uncertain times, we need as Christians to remember God's promises. Hallelujah. The first thing God reminds Jacob of is the promise he had made. He basically says, I made a promise to your father Isaac, to your grandfather Abraham, to give you the very land that you are now asleep on, and to bless the whole world through your offspring. And I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. When you consider that Jacob was leaving the promised land and that he had not one descendant at this time, it was a very reassuring promise. At this point in Jacob's journey, his return to the land and future offspring are very uncertain in the natural. So this promise, amen, gives him hope in spite of his circumstances. That is what every promise of God that we receive does. It gives us hope, even when all the circumstances seem to be going against the thing that is promised. So in uncertain times, we remember God's promises. Hallelujah. This principle is not just true for Jacob, but for me and for you in the 21st century. In our circumstances today, when we're facing hard and uncertain times, we need to open our Bibles and let the Holy Spirit remind us of what God has promised. You can pace back and forth, you can worry, you can focus on the problem, or you could be strengthened by focusing on the promises of God. And the choice always is yours and mine. We can wring our hands or we can raise our hands in praise and acknowledgement of the greatness, the goodness, and the faithfulness of our God. The Bible, in fact, is a promise book. The Holy Scriptures are filled with God's promises to His covenant children. And I think that Bible sits unused, sitting as an ornament on the coffee table when it should be, amen, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. That's what David, King David, said of the Word of God. You know, there's a humorous story about Bibles and how we utilize them. Amen. That a pastor had come to visit a family that attended his church. He had never been in their home. Naturally, they wanted to impress him. They had sat down in the kitchen to drink a cup of coffee and eat some fresh-made apple pie. And sitting at the kitchen table, the mother turns to the 5-year-old son and says, "Honey, run into the living room and get that book," because they had positioned the big holy family Bible on the center of the coffee table, knowing the minister was coming. But they're in the kitchen. So she tells her 5-year-old child to go into the kitchen and go into the living room and get that big book that we are so fond of. And he runs in the living room, comes back grinning with the Sears and Roebuck catalog. You can tell it's been some time back when this occurred, because Roebuck is no longer a part of Sears. But he came back with the catalog because that's the book that he had seen most people so intently reading and enjoying. The Bible is a promise book. Hallelujah. Amen. And every promise of God, when received, is yea and amen to them that believe it. Praise God. The Holy Scriptures are filled with God's personal promises to His covenant children. Let me read that to you from Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture that we might have hope. I like the way it reads from this Amplified translation, "For whatsoever was thus written in former days was written for our instruction, that by our steadfast and patient endurance and the encouragement drawn from the Scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish hope." Praise God. I'm going to tell you today, you are not in a hopeless situation. You are not in a hopeless circumstances. And you yourself are not a hopeless case. God has no hopeless cases. There is nothing impossible with God, and therefore there is nothing the Scripture declares impossible to him that believeth. And I want to encourage you today as we continue in this study, amen, to get back that precious hope in your heart. You know, we're going to different topics, but hope is running like a thread throughout all of the topics that we're talking about right now. The God of hope, the Scripture said, fill you with hope in believing. Because if you've got God, you've got hope in this present world. Hallelujah. And if you don't know the Lord, the Bible says in the negative sense that you're without God and you're without hope in this present world. But that can change as this broadcast is drawing to a close. You can come to know Christ as your Savior, and every promise of God in the Holy Scripture you can claim as your very own for you and your family and your household today. God can become not just your Creator, but your Savior. And you can be brought into His royal family and be authorized to call Him your Heavenly Father. He will protect. He will provide for you. Praise God. I'm going to just challenge you right here and right now that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, that you will call upon Him now, that you will repent of your sins, and you will invite Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, into your circumstance, therefore, and you will trust Him. Cast your cares on Him. Cast your burdens upon Him. Cast yourself upon Him. Would you pray to Him right where you are, right now, and let all the consolation that God gave Jacob about his uncertain future be your consolation today. And if you're a Christian today, would you cast your care on Him? Would you trust Him anew and afresh? Would you hold fast to the hope that is given you through His promises? We can't see all the time what Jacob saw, but we can hear through the Word of God what Jacob heard Him say. Hallelujah. God loves you today, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So get in a good Bible teaching church. Hallelujah. Open up that book, not the Sears catalog, but the Bible, and let God speak to you, counsel you, comfort you, and give you hope. Well, our time is gone. Please come back next week, and let's talk about Jesus.